Good morning. I'll try to show some self-control. It's good to be here and have the opportunity to share with you a portion of God's Word. We read a portion of the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, and where we saw about Elijah and Obadiah, and we read about what happened when Elijah actually met with Obadiah and what happened before that. But before we get to the actual piece where Obadiah and met with Elijah and what happened, we wanted to remind ourselves who Elijah was and what God had done in before that, because we are in 1 Kings chapter 18. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, we have Elijah going back to Ahab. If you were to go to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 and following, you will see that Elijah did something. Elijah was, he's called the prophet of courage and confrontation. Elijah was not going to stand there and not do anything when he saw somebody doing the wrong thing and misbehaving in front of the Lord. King Ahab was one of the worst kings that ever existed in Israel. In 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30, it is written that this king did everything that he could to get God mad. So he was a king who did worse than any of the kings that came before him. And worse, he went ahead and married Jezebel. So if you can marry Jezebel, then you ask for trouble. So he went ahead and married Jezebel. And Jezebel was one of the Sidonian girls, and this lady was bad. So she was evil, then she helped make Ahab even a worse king. Now, and Jezebel was known for her way of mistreating, of killing people of God. So Ahab did this, and as they were doing the wrong thing, and they left God to worship Baal and everything else, Elijah now was there and would not stand without doing anything. So that's why he's called the prophet of courage and confrontation. So he confronted Ahab, the king, in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. He said to the king, "Unless I say so, until I say so, it will not rain in this country." Now, this is an evil king. Like Elijah shows himself before Ahab and said that it will not rain in this country until I say so, except by my word. 1 Kings 17, verse 1. Except by my word, it will not rain again. Now, was it really Elijah who said this? Or was it Elijah working for God? Because Elijah could not possibly stop the rain from falling. Elijah was not the one who actually said it will not rain. But Elijah knew that because he was working for God, he could say that because he was about to defend God's name. So Elijah went to Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, and he said that it will not rain again. So we know that Elijah brought the worst drought in the country. So we saw Elijah taking that position against Ahab. And we see Elijah in chapter 17 again, because of his faith in God and his willingness to obey what God said, was willing to go to leave the country. Because once you said these things, you could not continue to live in peace. So he had to go in hiding. And God said to Elijah to go and hide himself in the ravine, Kirith Ravine, which is east of Jordan. Now, God said to Elijah, go and hide. That's in 1 Kings chapter 17. go and hide now in Kirith Ravine, which is east of Jordan. So God doesn't just say to Elijah to go, but he said where to go and where to hide. And he says that there I will send for you. Because what happens, there is one thing that said, there's a saying that says that hunger cast the wolves out of the wood. If you are hungry, you can't hide for long. So God says to Elijah, go, and I will send food for you. The ravens will feed you with meat and bread, and you will drink from the brooks. So we saw Elijah listening to God's will and to his voice and went and did what God said, and there he was fed by the ravens. And after that, God said to Elijah something that did not make sense to us. So that's why when God said something to Elijah, God can say things to us as well, which if we look at it from our standpoint, may not make much sense. Once Elijah said to King Ahab, unless I say so, it will not rain anymore. He had to go hide himself because the king wanted to kill him. Now, God said to Elijah later on in 1 Kings chapter 17, to go now and go to Zarephath. To go, it was there now because after a few months, there is no rain. The water from the brooks dried out. So now there is no water for Elijah to drink. God is going to send him to a town where somebody would feed him. It would be the widow at Zarephath. But now the problem is that to come from where he was east of Jordan to Zarephath, it will be about 100 miles walking in the territory of this king who's looking for him. Now, how can you tell me to go hide and now you tell me to come now to this place and I have to walk about 100 miles where they are looking for me? Well, that's what God said. You go, and Elijah went, and the women now took care of him, and that's the widow at Zarephath. But again, while he was there, the widow at Zarephath now, and her son died. 1 Kings 17, you know that the widow's son died. Elijah now is in trouble. The lady said, have you come to remind me of my past sins? So why did my son die? So now Elijah is being blamed for the woman's son's death. And Elijah asked for the woman's son and prayed to God. And we see Elijah asking for something that never happened before. Elijah prayed for the lady's son to come to life. This is the first time in the Bible you will see somebody being raised from the dead. Nowhere before this can you see in the word of God that somebody was ever raised from the dead. How did Elijah know that he could pray to God to ask to raise the son back from dead, from death? So Elijah had enough faith in God to pray to God to do something that he never heard about before. So God did this. Now we're back, and that was all to be done for God's glory. Because in 1 Kings 17, verse 24, when Elijah raised the son back, the women says in 1 Kings 17, verse 24, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth. So it was all to bring glory to God. Because now that all these things happened, the woman now says, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth. So God is praised as a result. Now this morning, we're going fast to show what happens now in chapter 18. 3 years have passed. Elijah now is going back to King Ahab. After 3 years, now Elijah is going back to King Ahab, and he's going to say now that I'm going to say this, it's going to rain. I said this 3 years ago that it would not rain. But now I'm going to tell you, unless you rush home, you're going to get wet. Now, this is not a joke. This is a guy who stopped the rain. Now, but before he gets there, he meets this man, Obadiah. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 and verse 2, after a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land." Now, this is very key. Elijah is not going to say that, "I am going to make it rain." God says, "You go and present yourself to the king, and I will make it rain." God will make it rain. So as we serve God, we need to remember who's in charge. Elijah could not make it rain. Elijah could not stop the rain from falling in the first place. God did. And now God says, "Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land." That sounds like what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 and verse 20 to verse 20. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to verse 20, Jesus said, Matthew writes, "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Jesus did not say, "Follow me, and you will become fishers of men. Follow me, and I will turn you into fishers of men." So Jesus changes us into servants, into fishers of men, when we obey his will. That's why when we come to God, we must be ready to listen to what he has for us, to what talents he's going to use from us. But at the end of the day, it's God who's going to make things work. So Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So the disciples became fishers of men by following what Jesus wanted them to do. So now this time it's Elijah. God sends Elijah back to Ahab. Elijah is going back to Ahab. But on the way, Elijah meets this man, Obadiah, who was a very devout man who had helped those who were serving God because Jezebel was killing them. So this is a good man. So God sends Elijah to present himself to Ahab, God has already prepared a meeting between Obadiah and Elijah. The same way, if you remember, in 1 Kings 17, when God sent Elijah to the city where somebody would feed him, God had already made an appointment with this widow who came by to look for some sticks. 1 Kings 17, the widow said, "Well, there was only a small portion of flour left and a small portion of oil left." So she was going to prepare the last meal for herself and her son. So she went out to look for some sticks. That's what she thought. But God had already made plan for her to meet with Elijah because she was to help the Lord's servant. The same way, this man, Obadiah, is being sent by King Ahab in 1 Kings 18 to go look for grass because of the drought. Well, the animals were dying. So the king sent this man to look for grass for the animals. So they thought. But God already made an appointment for this man to meet with Elijah because Elijah needs to send this man to tell Ahab that Elijah is here. Now this man, when Obadiah met Elijah, he recognized him. He recognized who he was, and Obadiah was walking along, verse 7, 1 Kings 18, verse 7. Elijah met him. Obadiah recognized him bowed down to the ground and said, "Is it really you, my Lord Elijah?" "Yes," he replied. "Go tell your master Elijah is here." That's the meeting. Now, that's quite a strange request. And Obadiah, of course, rejects. See, he objects to the request. He says, "Are you trying to kill me?" Basically, "Do you know how many places my master has looked for you? Now, if you send me to him to say to this king, this evil king, that Elijah is here, and you and I both know by the time I come back, God will take you away. And when I'm back with this man and you not here, he will kill me. Is that what you want to do to me? What have I done to deserve this? Haven't you heard that how I tried to help those who were in trouble with Jezebel and so on? Why do you want to kill me?" Elijah, now, does it want Ahab willing to do this thing to kill him? And Elijah is sending this man back to Ahab. Of course, Obadiah doesn't want to do that. Now, so Obadiah doesn't want to do that, but Elijah will give him his word. Elijah said, "No, as far as God is concerned, and because God I'm serving, and all these things, I'm giving you my word, you can go and I'll be presenting myself to Ahab today." So Elijah now sent for Ahab. He says, "As the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today." So Obadiah goes and reports that to Ahab, and Ahab comes. And when Ahab comes in 1 Kings 18, verse 17 to 19, you will see him trading accusations with Elijah. He says, first time when he comes, this king comes, "Are you the troublemaker?" That's what he says to Elijah. "Are you the one causing all this trouble?" Elijah says, "No, I'm not causing any trouble, but you and your parents, all the people under you, are doing the wrong thing before God. That's what's causing the trouble, not me." So now Elijah is telling this man, Ahab, to go and tell all these kings, all his servants, all those prophets of Baals, because remember, Ahab had taken Israel away from God and had built some places where they were to worship Baals and all those false gods. Now these false prophets, about 450 prophets of Baals and 400 prophets of Asherah, they were there causing troubles. So before God sent the rain, very important, before God sends the rain, he needs to get rid of these false prophets so that when the rain comes, they don't claim that they did this. So God is going to send the rain, but he needs to get rid of these guys. So Elijah said to Ahab, "I need to meet with your guys. Tell them to meet me on Mount Carmel." So all 400 prophets Baal and 450 prophets Baal and 400 prophets of Heshua, they come to Mount Carmel. And there, if you read the whole 1 Kings chapter 18, you see on Mount Carmel, and there Elijah says, "Well, bring something like a sacrifice for your group, for your prophets." And there are about 850 of them, really 450 prophets of Baal, and 400 prophets of Asherah, that's 850, tell them to pray their gods and ask their gods to send a fire to burn up the sacrifice. And I am the only one here for God, and I will call on my God to send fire, and people will know who God really is, who is the real God. So 850 of them and were beating themselves to death. They could not get fire. In 1 Kings 18, the whole chapter. Now, Elijah said, "Call louder. Maybe your gods are sleeping." And they couldn't make it happen. And suddenly, Elijah now says, "Okay, not only am I going to do this, but pour water on my sacrifice. Pour more water." And he says now, he prays to God so that the people know who God is. Send fire. Now, Elijah is not claiming to do this for himself. The glory is not for him. When we serve God, give God the glory. Elijah says, so that they know today who you are, send fire. And fire came and burned up not only the sacrifice, but the water. So Elijah says now take these guys and kill them all, those false prophets. That's how they died. And after this now that those false prophets have gone, they are gone, and now God says, now I'm going to send the rain. So when the rain comes, they cannot claim that they did this. They are no longer here. So that's what happens. Now, there is a guy by the name of David Gossack. He says that it was important to confront and eliminate those prophets of Baal before God sent the rain to the land. It was crucial that everyone understand that the rain came from Yahweh, not from Baal. So if those prophets were there, they would have claimed that, well, they did this through their god, Baal. So God got rid of them and sent the rain. So Elijah played a very key role in the plan of God for salvation. I like Elijah because when I look at, we're going fast. If you remember during the transfiguration, when Jesus was going to transfigure before the disciples, who did you see on during that time? Who showed up? Elijah, Moses, and Jesus. Jesus took some disciples with him, Peter, John, and James, and went to the mountain. And while he was praying, they saw Moses and they saw Elijah. Matthew 17, verse 1 to 9, records this very important meeting. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Very important. Moses and Elijah. This is a very important meeting. Remember in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. In Matthew 5, 17, Jesus said, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets. So, to fulfill them, Jesus now is going to fulfill Moses, is going to fulfill Elijah. So, before Jesus went to the cross, a meeting between Moses and Elijah and Jesus took place. That's why I think Luke did a very important job when he explains what happened at that meeting. In Luke 9, verse 29 to 31, Luke tells us what happens at the meeting. Luke 9:29-31. As Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. What did they talk about? They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus spoke about Jesus' departure. He was going to fulfill Moses. He was going to fulfill Elijah on the cross. Who was Moses? Moses was the lawgiver. Moses gave the law of God, but through Moses. In John 1:17, it is written, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 1:17. Elijah represented the prophets. So if Jesus says in Matthew 5:17, he came to fulfill the law, he came to fulfill Moses. And the prophets, he came to fulfill all the prophets represented by Elijah. So that's what took place on the cross. That's why the last thing that Jesus said on the cross before he died, it is finished. It is finished. Because in Matthew 5:17, he says he didn't come to take anything from the law. But in Matthew 5:18, the next verse, he says that there will not be taken anything away from the law, not even an iota, until, there is a delay, until all is finished. If I said to you, please stay here until I'm back. When I'm back, you're free. Jesus said, nothing will be taken away from the law until all is finished, all is accomplished. And on the cross, he said, it is finished, and he died. The key message of the transfiguration is no more Moses, no more Elijah. As they were speaking, Peter had a very bright idea during the Mount of Transfiguration. While Jesus was talking to Moses and Elijah, Peter says, it is great to be here, Lord. Let us have three tents, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. While he was talking, a cloud came and took away Moses and Elijah, and only Jesus was left. And the voice from heaven says, this is my son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. If I'm going to please God today, I'm going to listen to Jesus and Jesus alone. That's what we see in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and various ways. But in these last days, he had spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made all the universe. So God did this for Jesus, and we listen to him. God's message for all mankind is to listen to Jesus and him alone. For those of us who have already put on Christ, those of us who are members of the Lord's church, the message for us is what is found in Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And Jesus tells us how to do this. We need to go to God through him, because he is our mediator. Jesus is the one who presents our case to God. So those of us who have already put on Christ, who have already obeyed the gospel, we have a mediator, we have a lawyer, we have an advocate presenting our case to God on our behalf. For those, if there are anyone here today now who have not yet obeyed the gospel, well, the message is for you as well. You too can come and be part of this. You too can have God and Jesus being your mediator, as it is for us. You can do that. And Jesus wants that to be done. And he wants to take away all your trouble, all the issues that you may have that would prevent you from reaching heaven. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says it clear, very clearly. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is the one. Elijah came for a reason. Moses came for a reason. Moses came to present the law to the people so that people know about sin. Elijah came to let people know that God had his prophets. Jesus came to fulfill both Elijah and Moses. Jesus is the only one that can save us today. So if I want to please God, I need to listen and listen to Jesus alone. So if you are here today and have not yet obeyed the gospel, why not today? Why not listen to Jesus today? And if you are still thinking about it, we pray that you get the opportunity to do that before it's too late. And I would like to invite you to maybe please stand and sing with us number 648, 648 as we close, 648. Let's stand as we sing, please.